Tuesday, June 11th, 2019, Talking Schmidt, episode 24. What's up, everybody? Did you watch the Warriors last night? Did you see what I saw? One of the best games I've seen in a while. One of the hardest fought Warriors. I don't know what the rest of the series is going to bring, but I'm content. I'll tell you that. Hey, and I got a question for you. So, mansplaining. Is it still called that when a man does it to another man? Email me at epicallytrife@yahoo.com and let's talk mansplaining. Otherwise, I'm just going to pass the mic over to my good friend Pierre and let him lead us into the show.
Oh, yeah. This is Pierre talking Schmidt, right? Oh, no. I'm listening and I'm talking and listening to Team Schmidt. I'm a Mark of you.
Talking
Schmidt.
Just give it the old college try right here.
Oh, big dog's in.
Schmitty, what do you think, Schmitty?
He could just pull shit off.
Talking Schmidt.
He's so fucking busy.
Shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Schmidt.
I'm here for Greg Schmidt.
Talking Schmidt. Talking Schmidt.
You guys ready? Are you guys ready? Is anyone out there? Because check this out. I got some firsts for you. I have some firsts. Right? This is my first podcast in Arizona. Check that state right off the list. Boom! Yep. And then on top of that, this is my first time with a live instrument on the podcast. So we're going to check that off the list.
Yeah.
And we got one more first for you. And his name is Aaron Homoki.
What's up, everybody?
So what's been going on, Juz? You just skated some crazy water park yesterday.
We did, yeah. Me and Mr. T-Hawk and Chris Gregson and Lizzie all got invited to go skate a abandoned water park that just got purchased by a bunch of pro surfers, and they're about to change that shit into a Kelly Slater wave pool.
Oh, so, they're going to make one of those waves.
Yeah, make one of
the
those
perfect
waves.
Perfect wave, wow.
Yeah, so they're making one of those perfect waves, and okay. They're like, hey, we're going to destroy this thing, so if you guys want to come and skate it, let's do it. And then so they got it properly made up. They got like lawyers involved and got waivers made up.
Oh, fully legit.
Fully legit.
Okay.
And then they let us skate it. And I think they got it fully legit because Chris Gregson was there and he got caught there, and the dude came up and Chris was like, oh, sorry, we're going to leave. And he's like, no, dude, it's all good. Like, you guys can stay. And then he's like, told him about the surfers that just bought it. And then I think Chris pulled the Tony Hawk card.
Well, he should.
He's like, oh, well, cool. Like, I know a bunch of pro skateboarders, including Tony Hawk, and he would love to skate this place.
Right.
And then so, yeah, they're like, oh, fuck, yeah, like, let's do this. And so they made it legit. Uh-huh. We all signed waivers. Went there yesterday. That was the first day. They're going to tear it down. I mean, from today's date, probably by the time this airs, it's going to be torn down.
Oh, shit. So don't go there unless you want to surf, and even then you probably aren't going to get allowed
it's
in there.
They said 2020 is when it's going to be open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's not even, it's a long process for them.
Right.
But, yeah.
So that was out by Palm Springs somewhere. Is that,
Palm Springs,
that's about
yeah.
What, four, did you say 4 hour drive from here?
Yeah, it was four hour drive.
You guys drove out same day and drove back same day?
We drove out night, got a hotel.
Okay.
And then stayed the night and then just went there in the morning. I didn't want to have burnt legs driving like at 6 a.m. to get there and then be burnt and then try to drive back. I'd be freaking... I'll be so dusted.
Did you guys see the Pee Wee Herman dinosaurs out there?
Skip past those. We got better things to do.
Yeah. Fuck.
She was sick though, man. Hyped.
Our friend Cody. Cody's in this house. Big shout out to Cody.
Shout
Cody.
Out.
Who's going to be helping me do the Phoenix Am 2020.
2020 is our year.
Yeah.
He just brought me a joint.
Cody Longland's fisheye all day, baby. Talk a little bit about some of these Buster Bales that you've been a part of. You've been to, like, you said you were at the 16 Stair Paul Revere.
Yep, I was at Paul Revere, and that was the first one that I went to.
Mr. Purple Tea showed up as Paul Revere.
Shit. I remember Moose back 360ing over.
Right.
Or doing it over the stairs and eventually just going over the rail.
The rail, too.
And I remember being like, holy shit. Who else? Andrew
Reynolds,
Lange.
Reynolds, frontside flip. Lange put himself on the map
I was like, damn. Because, Reynolds was obviously, of course, amazing. And then Scheckler.
Oh, Scheckler had a day. Yeah. But Lange, no one really knew who he was.
No one from Blunt.
Front Blunt, front over crooks or nose grind. Mm-hmm. And maybe first try on a couple of those.
Yeah.
And it was like, who the fuck is this guy?
I remember that clear as day.
And then
damn.
I think Gravett and somebody maybe did doubles, like two guys on the rail. Gravett
and Figgy.
Yeah.
Figgy nollie grinded it, and then Gravett.
Was it Figgy?
5-0.
Yeah.
5-0'd it, and then Gravett 5-0 180'd it.
I thought it was Devin Apello, maybe, but maybe it wasn't.
No. I think it was Figgy.
We're going to have to look up the footage.
If it's Figgy,
that's rad.
I'm smoking a joint right now. it gets foggy.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So what's up with the harp?
The mouth harp.
How long has it been with you?
I rolled my ankle extremely bad and couldn't skate for like 6 months. And I looked up techno beatboxing curiously on YouTube. And I found someone doing techno sounds with this instrument. And I was like, what the fuck is that? That sounds so cool. And then so I got it, and with my rolled ankle, I just sat there and just played with it, and then ended up being able to, yeah.
What year was that?
Shit, that was, I'd say it was like 2013.
2013, so it's been 6 years.
6 years.
Okay, so you're a master of it now.
Oh, dude, there's much more masters out there than me.
Is there dudes that you look up on YouTube?
For sure,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, just everybody's got,
there's tutorials and shit?
Well, there's tutorials, but I feel like I'm past that.
No, but I mean tutorial, dudes that are like, holy shit, he just brought a new thing to the game.
Yeah, there's dudes that create their own harps that... have mastered the sounds of them and are able to do they'll do for instance, I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly, but he's made three harps together, so it's almost like a guitar. Whoa. Where you can pluck and then each one of those are a different type of sound.
Okay,
but
fuck. It's like Jimmy Page with the two-headed guitar.
Yeah, but exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's insane. Like, I don't know. There's just next levels to it.
Dude.
But I don't know. Should I play something?
Yeah, let's get a little fucking vibe. What do you got?
All right, wait. So, dude, just on mine? Or
whatever you...
Because this is how I usually...
Okay, you got it. Okay.
I think this should work.
I'll
let you... not too muffled.
Yeah.
But...
this one goes out to all y'all.
This is like the mellow one. I'll go mellow style first, and then we'll go
easy.
Techno style. But this is just like easy steez. Yeah. And if you feel free to add anything. Now we'll go. Now we'll kick it up a notch.
All right.
Ready? Here we go. We got Omar Hassan and this motherfucker about to freestyle the fuck out of this shit. Here we go, kid. Beatbox, beatbox. Everyone knows we talk lots on this podcast. We're having a blast, doing it fast. And we're gonna last. Not the past, future.
I'm gonna put some guitar over this later.
Oh, God. Oh shit, we're having too much fun.
Too much fun out here in the AZ. Hey, I got a good question for you. Me and my girlfriend are gonna move out here for 2 years.
2 years?
It's 2 years straight. We can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Give me three tips.
Three tips.
I gotta live in Phoenix, Arizona for 2 years straight. What are my tips to survive out here? Because it is
number one.
Yeah.
Wear sunscreen. Wear sunscreen.
Number two is drink water.
Well, that's obvious.
I got those. You gotta
live. I'm telling you here.
Okay.
You gotta drink water.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe number two, freeze your water gallon.
Oh.
There you go.
And then it melts.
Number two, go out. If you're going to do something, go out at night. It's much more comfortable.
So do you change your sleep patterns in the summer?
I do. Right. I completely do. I will stay up until the sun rises. Like, our skate missions, like, growing up here, our skate missions in the summertime would start when this it was around 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and would end at 5 a.m.
Oh, shit.
That's, like, when it would end. And that would be, like, okay. And you'd sleep until, like, 3,
in the
two.
Middle of the day.
Yeah, you'd sleep until 2, 3, go get your shit, and then go get your breakfast time, you know? Yeah. Go get your food, and by that time you're, like, ready to go out and do stuff, it's, like, 5 p.m.
Okay, it's like, then it's only 103.
Yeah, it's only 103. And then by about 8 p.m., then it's about...
It's, like, 98.
Yeah, 98.
Fuck. I don't know how you guys do it because I've lived in San Francisco Bay Area my whole life, so I'm used to 70 all year round. Mm-hmm. When it gets in the 90s, I'm like crying. So 100 is like, I just get a fucking medevac out, dude. I'm like, later.
I don't know how you guys bear with the cold.
Yeah.
See, I can't.
It's just what you get used to, I guess. Like, some people come and they think San Francisco is warm because they're from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people from Arizona are like, fucking, dude, they got like Eskimo hats on and shit.
Dude,
freezing.
That's me. Yeah. That's me. Let me get my thermals and some pants.
For me, the worst part of SF is the wind. Like, I don't mind cold, but when it's windy, it's just miserable and I don't want to be outside.
Well, we got these dust storms called haboobs here. Mm-hmm.
Haboobs.
Those things are just like kind of just dust devils that just come in and just for a quick hour.
Is it like a dust tornado or something?
It's like just a whole dust storm. Like just a whole wind. It's not like a tornado, but like it's like a whole dust like storm that just comes in, but it's just moving fast. So it's like it's about an hour.
Whoa.
And it's like it's just like windy as fuck. It's like some rains here and there. It's kind of fun actually.
Really?
Yeah. Hell it's like a desert hurricane.
Okay. But you guys do, when the water's right, have epic like swim holes and stuff, yeah?
Oh, for sure, dude. If you get a good rainy season in the summertime, it's just so the water it's just so warm. Like, the water's, like, so nice.
Right. Because
it's just nice and warm and in the desert.
I mean, it's
cool.
Good for your bones and your joints, for sure.
All that, yeah. So
it's pretty crazy, like, to think, like, if I go to Hawaii, like, I just feel so good. And when I come here, like, my joints and stuff feel good, but I just get, like, tired. And I'm like, whoa, lethargic or something. About the fucking Clipper one, though? See, we're all over here with my ADD. We did talk about Paul Revere, but we never went to Clipper on the Buster Veil.
Dude, we didn't.
And I got to tell you listeners, that me and this guy right here, we were in the same photo. He was doing something a little gnarlier than me. I was walking down the plank with my camera, and he was kickflip melon over the damn thing. And that ran in Thrasher. I don't remember the month, but we got it. And Jaws ran away with the fucking prize, I think, that day.
I remember you guys called me about that. And I was like, I don't know what I could do over on the ledge. And like, no, go over the whole thing. I was like, I mean, I don't know what I could do.
Yeah.
Like,
had you never looked at it before?
Never looked at it before. Oh.
And you just never flew in and there was the contest.
Yeah, flew in and you're like, I remember you being like, I'm pretty sure you could back 180 it. Or the old trusty kickflip melon. And I was like, I can't frontside kickflip melon over things because I have to go front because I skate regularly.
Right.
So it's uncomfortable going frontside.
Alley-oop almost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you're it's just uncomfortable doing it that way, and I knowing that that thing is big, I was like, I don't know, like I really don't know.
Yeah.
And then we got there, and it's like, well, I think I ollied it. I don't even know if I meloned it. I don't know if I meloned it or if I ollied it. I don't remember.
Yeah.
What I did first, but I remember just being like, okay, like I got this. Like let's do this.
Yeah, and it was like a few tries, like maybe two or three.
It worked out good. I do actually remember it. Holy shit, now it's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you, Schmitty, like, because you had that, we had the drop-in ramp at the top.
Yep.
And then that's where, like, everyone was starting was, like, right where I was going to go. And then I remember, like, making eye contact with you being like, Schmitty, I'm going. And you're, like, clearing everyone, like, yeah. Shane O'Neill. I heard Shane O'Neill's, like, stay there. Like, move, Shane. I'm like, get him out of the way.
Hey, man, yeah. You could do that fucking other thing after this.
Yeah, I remember you, like, clearing the path for me.
Right.
You'd be giving me the thumbs up. I was like, okay,
dude, I was stoked on the photo because I'm, like, up on the ledge, like, following you down. I was like, that looks cool. Like, that's something, like, where you're in the photo and you're like, that's cool. Don't Photoshop me out of that one. Like, I was kind of stoked on that one.
That was a good
like,
day.
Usually I'm like, I don't want to be in the photo, you know, like, yeah, filming or whatever. I like, that was killer. And then we went to the bar after and fucking it was just good vibes. Like, mm-hmm. Some dudes, of course, get too wasted and then it gets a little uncomfortable for some of them. But other than that, yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah.
And then another trip was the Skate Rock trip you joined us on. You flew into, not Memphis, or was it Memphis? You flew in like 2 days late. And I remember your flight was delayed. Dave picked you up, and I think you met us at Herman's Hole, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Carbon, one, I forget where, but, oh, St. Louis. You flew into St. Louis, I'm pretty sure.
Damn, dude. All blurs so much together, yeah, dude.
But once you were there, like, the trip was, like, that first day we went and skated that rail and got the group in the background. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like that first day I felt like, okay, the trip's on, and we're all bonding, like, boom.
Yeah.
And it then was, it, yeah,
that was a good time. I remember meet Timo on that trip.
MVP,
dude. And I remember him. What the, like the joke is like, you want to get cracked?
Yeah.
Like I was like, let's crack.
The whole trip was cracked. Like, yeah, he kept telling Mark Waters, like, you're gonna get cracked. Hey, Mark, guess what? You're getting cracked.
So Timo, he's like, you gonna crack Riley? You gonna crack the Hawk, son? I was like, hey, Timo, I got you, dude. I'm gonna totally crack Riley. Just totally tell Riley. Timo's being funny right now. Just
and then Timo got lit up in our van.
Yeah.
He got knocked out for like a few hours.
I don't know, man. That shit, that was just recklessness.
You were with us in Mississippi, right?
Was that
where we got kicked out of the state and then we had to like go straight to New Orleans? It was like this dudes came out and they got kind of in a fight and one of them lost their wedding ring. And then we raced back to the hotel we're staying at. And then the cops showed up and said the dude said that we stole his wedding ring. And yep. then we were supposed to go to Jackson, Mississippi the next day. And those dudes called like Jake or somebody and was like, hey man, the cops are already here, just get out of the state. So we fucking bounced to New Orleans, and Timo had the indoor bowl lined up for us.
Oh my god, dude. See, I was like Like, I was like, Riley was like my buddy on that trip, because Riley Hawk was with us.
Right.
Yeah, and so Riley was my buddy on that trip. And okay. I was just like, once that got to that point of like too much chaos, I was like, all right, I'm backing out of here.
So were you in this car with Nuge and Frex? Who were you driving with?
I was bouncing around.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get in the anti-aerovan?
I was in there for like 2 minutes, and I was like, fuck this. I'm out.
Wow.
But
yeah, big, those have been super. I mean, it's hard for me to even bring it up or say anything, but with Jake passing recently, it's just been like, I don't know what all is. It's just fucked up. And it's been hard for me. Actually, it's just super new, and I'm like, just got on my first flight since all of that, and that was hard. But he just pulled all those people together. He was a big part of why that energy was so epic. And
for sure, dude.
Oh, man.
He was there just screaming at us. Dude. Yeah. Just
firing it up always.
Firing it up.
Get it!
Yeah, man. You know what's actually cool is that, honestly, the very first time I really actually felt like I connected with Jake was on that trip. Where, like, I was like, damn, like, saw some fire in he. I feel like he saw some fire in me, and I was like, recognized he saw some fire in me. I was like, dude, that's really cool. And then even like after that, me and him had to go to the airport together, and we had to sit at the airport for like 5 hours together, just me and him. We got like to just spend like a good like one-on-one, like good time. And remember him talking to me about baseball.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid,
I
used to
talk to you about anything.
Yeah.
He had so much knowledge.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. It was this magical time, man.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I would say about that is that if you came out and supported his thing like that and you didn't like leave early, like you went through the whole motions and supported the thing, mm-hmm. like that meant so much to him, and he never forgets anything. So if you kook it with him, he would remember that, and he'd be like, you kooked it. Mm-hmm. But if you supported him, he'd be like, I remember that. He didn't forget things forever, like whether good or bad. It was like, I don't know if it's East Coast or what, but that's what he had.
Yeah, it's just real recognized real, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's just like he sees a skateboarder.
Yeah.
And he knows someone, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to get too caught up on that right now because it'll just spin me out. And I think what I really want to talk to you about is the Birdhouse team. What's going on with you guys? Because you guys pretty much killed King of the Road, so you're like, all right, retired. And then you put out a couple of videos, and like, I think you just put out a recent one, right, with Mills.
Yeah, so we just did a Beautiful Mutants. After the Saturdays video, we were all still sparked, and then we're still going.
Yeah.
And some other people had other things to do, like Lizzie and Tony obviously had other shit to do.
Uh-huh.
And Sean Hale and Clive were killing it still. And then, like, well, let's just do, like, a little side project. Yeah. And at that time, we introduced two new AMs, Ed Duff and Reese Sulkin. They are killing it, and they both had parts in this little video that we just put out.
Yeah, so. And the parts were, I think all of them were on Thrasher, or some of them at least were.
So the intro, it's like an intro team montage, but like introducing Ed Duff as well.
Right.
So that came out. Reese's part, it was like the team section,
uh-huh.
and then Sean's, and then Clive.
Right.
And then Clive killed it with that board slide.
Fuck. Yeah, Cuvez.
Yep. And it's funny because Clive FaceTimed me after he did that, like when he got home that day. And I was eating sushi. I'll just never forget. I was like eating sushi, being just a little like pretty boy, like, that's eating sushi. And Clive just called me, yo, I just did the gnarliest thing of my life. I almost just could have died. I was like, what'd you do? He's like, you'll see. And that was it. And I was like, what the fuck?
No way.
Next
for
day,
a month? You had to wait?
I had to wait. Yeah, he's just like, keep me on the edge. Keep me on the edge. Like, you'll see, dude.
Had you seen that spot before?
No. I had no idea. Mills found it. There needs to be a backstory on that. Because the whole backstory of that is crazy. I got a 3-hour interview. I got a 3 hours of them telling me all about their fucking adventure of doing that, dude.
That's really cool. That is kind of an homage to Jeremy Ray, mm-hmm. like with the water towers, his Ollie. It almost was shot the same way and looks similar. Mm-hmm. That's, I like that too. You remember that cover? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a fucking classic. So,
when I saw that photo, that's the first thing I thought. I was Burn Dog nailed that one. Jeremy Ray. Like, this is just classic.
Yeah.
Was there any font or was there any?
That's a good question.
On the cover?
I feel like
maybe
I have it
in my house? Oh, it's at my parents' house. It's classic, dude.
Yeah, that's sick.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, here's another one. We just interviewed Lizzie last week.
Oh, nice.
And she told me, because she's the first female to ever do the loop, but she said you were so instrumental in helping her, supporting her, like firing her up. Talk a little bit about that day.
Dude. Freaking, first of all, with the Birdhouse team, legitimately, those dudes are like my best friends. Like, I can talk to them about anything.
Rad.
Anytime. Like, and it's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's very rare, I feel like, to find that. And so I'm very happy. So that day, Lizzie FaceTimed me, or not even FaceTimed, she just called me like a few days before and was like, yo, like, what's going on with the loop? Tell me about the loop. Talk me through this. And I was like, all right. This is what you need to do. So we talked like for about an hour.
Uh-huh.
And then we went there that day. And whatever. She was like kind of feel like a little bit like it wasn't quite working yet. Because it's when you do that, it's not. You got to like not think of it normally. Like it's,
right. She said that you gave her some great advice, which was, don't pump ever. Like, you think you have to pump, just keep your legs kind of straight and go with it.
That's the thing. It's a racetrack.
Okay.
You know when you ride roller coasters. You ride on a roller coaster and you do a loop on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You never quite really know when you're upside down. Because your head's, you never quite like at 12 o'clock, like, damn, I'm upside down.
You
always can kind of see where you're going. It's like, with that, you don't pump it like a cradle.
Right.
You let it take you for the ride.
Okay.
You let it take you for the ride.
Okay, I got it.
That dude,
Tony, please pull the loop out this weekend. I'm coming for it.
I swear. I mean, maybe I'm just exaggerating a little bit, but I seriously swear that like you could do the loop. Like a lot of people could do the loop. Like it's not.
It's just all about figuring it out.
Figuring it out.
And having the balls.
And having the balls.
I mean, because I asked her, I was like, did you see Brian Schaefer and some of these dudes, like, eat shit, like, and go to the hospital trying it? Like, that's an image that I wish I never saw, because I think that would prevent me from even trying it.
Here's the thing, is that they have the skills, easily. They have the skills to do it.
Right, almost too amped.
Yeah, too amped.
Okay.
They go... They treat it like it shouldn't be. Like Tony does all. Luckily, they have pads there and shit. Like you can
walk your way into it.
And so with Lizzie doing that, like I watched her go from like a newborn child of learning this to like doing it. She was learning something brand new, and then so like.
That rules.
Being there, just like up there, and I was standing on the top of the loop with her. Like, once she started figuring it out, I was like, "Dude, you got this!" And then it was just like pushing confidence in her, and us being best friends, like being like, "Dude, like, seriously, like, when I say you got this shit, like, you better fucking do it."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's not just me being like, "Dude, you got it," just like to make the situation better. It's like, no, you fucking got this.
This is the loop.
You fucking got this. Like, don't even ever think you don't got it.
I'm just so glad she did it too. I was happy for her.
Yeah.
Such an awesome achievement.
Yeah. She's smart. She's like smart with like.
Absolutely.
She doesn't freak out. You know how like other like people you see people break boards and like throw their shit and just.
No, she comes to grips with it. Like I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm stopping. Or like I can do it, but I need to do this to get to there or whatever. Like she has her philosophy.
Yeah, I know you film with her a bunch. It's like like.
Hell, it's like, such a joy.
Yeah, it's like it's rather than like just being with someone that just gets pissed off.
Right.
Like, let's go get a beer or let me, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like, dude, like just go drink some boba tea.
Yeah. Brainstorming here, but I'm thinking.
Brainstorming up.
I'm thinking the one you drove to. What did you drive to St. Louis? You drove somewhere with Hammocky for the big stairs.
Mm-hmm.
You went to fucking the Bulala. Set.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we went to Louisville, Kentucky with Hammocky to go do that Ollie. And that was my very first cover of Thrasher.
Okay. That was
a while back.
But did you guys drive? Didn't you guys just go there for that? Like you weren't even
for the rail. We went there for the rail.
Oh, okay.
David Lloyd lips led the rail.
Okay.
And then I saw the block there and I was like, oh, I think I could. Maybe all of this. Tried to do it. Broke off. Like bruised my heel or something. Went back. Hammocky showed it to Burnett. Somehow Andrew Reynolds saw the photo and was like, "That's the biggest ollie ever." And then Burnett called Hammocky and Hammocky called me. It's like, "We need to go do that because it's a potential cover." And I was like, okay. Well, let's do this."
Wow.
And so, like, I didn't even think anything of it. It was just like. Oh, that was like something that I just tried. And
how would you compare that to the, what is it, Leon?
Leon 25, smaller.
It's smaller than the Leon one?
Yeah, it's mellower, because that's a 20 stair with a 8, I think it's an 8 block if I'm, it's an 8 block that kind of sticks out a little bit, so it's just a drop, it's more of a drop, you don't have to go as fast.
Okay, it's not as long out.
It's not as long out. Like, you can... for me, like, I was able to, like, kind of, like, toy with it a little bit more.
You're better at higher than
longer. Higher than longer, yeah. Okay. Like, Wallenberg, like, I wouldn't have shit for... I that's why I don't skate, like stuff like that, because I can't... I don't do long. I like, drop.
Real quick, in a condensed Jaws version, because I know you did the whole fucking story with Gilbert and stuff, but just talk about that Leon trip.
I'll give you the version less spoken about, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Here's the thing with that is that this room that you're sitting in right now that we're doing this interview in.
Yeah.
I had to fly to France to go do that, and it was a 3-day trip, and I went with Kevin Barnett and Mike Burnett, and that was the first. And it was us three, and we went for 3 days. This is the first time that we went.
When just I heard my name, like we're just going there.
We're going there.
Kevin Barnett,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he was filming for...
He was going to do it for the Decline video.
For Decline, yes.
Yeah, he was filming for Tumieto.
Okay.
And I remember being scared shitless, sitting in this room, sleeping, just being like, dude, I have to go do this tomorrow. Like, we're going here and doing this. Just being, like, just scared as shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then so went there, ended up tearing my MCL. French Fred, bless his wonderful soul. I will forever love French Fred because he was the one that was guiding our trip. I hurt my knee and I went back to Fred's house, and his wife was a physical therapist. She like worked on my knee.
No way.
And she's like, dude, I can tell there's like something more wrong than just physically. Like, what's wrong with you? You feel like emotionally like built up. And then I like straight up, like, not even shitting with you, cried like a little baby. I was like, fucking dude, I just like went out here trying to do this, like, da 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 da. I don't have anyone with me, I don't even know, like, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And so it was just...
But you knew Kevin, right?
I knew Kevin, but we didn't have like a good connection, you know what I mean? And I knew Mike too, but we didn't have a good connection. It was just like, I felt like, I don't know. And so the next time we went out there and they called me out, and I like waited a year, rehabbed myself, and I was like, okay, I know I can do it. Let me just go back. Can I bring like an emotional support?
Right.
Like, fuck yeah. I was like, well, I'm going to bring my dad. Like, rad. Fuck yeah. And so brought my dad with. And that just like, and I just like a weight lifted off of just like, I can like focus on being the trick more in general. And I was just actually just talking to someone that's working with snowboarders. They're Olympic snowboarders that working with fear and how they get through fear. And like being able to have like an emotional support of someone that you fully trust, and someone like
for
skateboarders instance, like having like their filmer with them.
Right.
When they have their filmer with them, that's like their dude. Yeah. You know? And I've so seen, like I've having seen. Someone like that with it changed the game, and I think that's how I was able to do it.
Rad, yeah.
So there's the inside.
That's
story.
Heavy. And also, wasn't Clive and Clint there? Or?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of had a little crew.
Yeah, I had a little crew too.
But that one was even gnarlier, I felt like, for you maybe, because like Gilbert and a few guys were there, and you knew like this is a story. Like it's almost like King of the Road again. It's like cameras everywhere and interviews and like. You're about to do the gnarliest shit ever, and you're like, maybe I don't want to talk about it right now. Like, chill.
Yeah. That's how it felt the first time. First time I did that, that's how it seriously felt. Okay. And it was like, okay, like Sinclair was like organizing all of it to, you know, cater to this, and it just didn't feel like right, you know? I didn't feel like natural. I didn't feel like I was doing it for myself. I felt like I was doing it for someone else.
Okay.
And so the next time I was like, dude, I'm going out there. I'm doing this. And with my dad, I was like, dad, hey, you want to check out your son? Do something cool. Check this out.
Was your dad shitting his pants?
Dude. Well, first of all, that was the first time out of the country.
No way.
Yeah.
Rad.
Yeah. That was the first time out of the country. He went to France. First thing they ate is a beef tartare. If y'all that don't know, beef tartare is just raw beef. Imagine getting hamburger beef and just slamming on your plate. Just that's what he got, first thing.
That's amazing.
So.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was such
a... First time out of the country, he goes to watch his son do something that he just tried, and what'd you do, blow out your ACL?
MCL. I got lucky it was a grade 3 tear, which is just tore. It's like ripping a sheet of paper, just...
Are you double jointed at all?
It feels like
your legs can just go to crazy positions.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Huh. Jumping on trampolines, I think maybe is the key.
No, that is if you haven't seen that or heard about that, you're living under a rock. But if you have been living under a rock, go to the Thrasher website or just go to the internet and Google fucking Jaws. Probably just Google Jaws or Aaron Amoki, but yeah, France doubles like my war, anything like that, and you're gonna be like, wait, did you see the guy frontside flip it?
And like actually front flip.
Yeah, was that real?
Yes.
No way.
Okay, so to clarify that, there's a dude. He's a parkour. Uh-huh. You know what parkour is.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers just jump around. Just jump. This dude, he's like one of the best parkour people in the world. He went there to go front flip it.
Like a human flip, like diving off a diving board, but no diving board.
And he did it. And he bruised the living I think he actually cracked his heel. He bruised the living shit out of his heel. But yes, he did that. And he did that to do, like, the come up. Like, did you see the scooter kid that tried it?
No.
After.
A guy tried a scooter.
Okay, yes.
Like, so, the wing, like.
Yes, like a full-on scooter. He had knee pads, elbow pads, helmet. Like, it looked like he almost hit his chin on the handlebar. But he stuck on it, and he didn't land it, but.
I gotta look that up,
dude.
YouTube time tonight, kids.
So it's funny. Like a couple people have tried to like come up off of like that. Like, oh, they see that set. Like, oh, we're gonna go there now.
I thought it was you know? Fake.
That parkour dude definitely like I remember seeing his Instagram like before that, like he tagged like first thing I got tagged in was like I got tagged in that shit.
Oh,
is he had like 200,000 followers? Now he's at like 800. I was like, I don't know how the fuck this happened, and that was like a matter of like 6 months or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's damn. it's just crazy.
It is crazy. Wow. I gotta look the scooter one up. That is definitely gonna have to happen.
God, well, I gotta show you that shit. It's fucking crazy.
Well, we're gonna let you spark that up, and then we're gonna take it to the bridge with. We'll give a few shout outs to anybody that you think needs a shout out right now. Oh, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Trent and Laura at Cowtown because they're the realest and the coolest. And anytime I'm invited out here, I always come. Last year, I broke my rib and I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But I fucking love those two, and I got them back anytime. Phoenix Am's a good thing.
Yep. Amen to that. Trent and Laura and Ed, too, from Cowtown. You guys all rule. And, of course, putting on this contest. I mean, I remember being a little kid. Best I got in is fourth place. You know who beat me that year? Clive Dixon. He got third.
I shot. That was at a different park.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah, the one with park. The stair. Yep.
I
was there.
Fuck, who the fuck? Yeah, dude. But I remember me and Clive were vibing about that. We're like, oh, talking about Phoenix Am just because it's coming up.
Did you guys know each other then?
No, we had no idea who each other were.
And then we got history.
He's like, I got third in it. I was like, no way, I got fourth in it. Think we did the same year. Like, no, you didn't beat me, dude. He's like, yeah, I did.
That is amazing. But,
yeah, so shout out, Phoenix Am.
Shout out.
Thank you. It always entertained my family, too.
Hell
it
yeah.
Was a good thing to go to, and yeah, shout out all those people, and I don't know.
Shout out.
Shout out to Tony Hawk, because he's actually following me right now, and he actually likes me sometimes, like likes someone, and I gotta tell you, I'm a fan, and I'm still kind of geeked out when I see a like from the Birdman, so thanks for that, dude. Tony.
Dude, yeah, shout out Tony. First of all, actually, behind the scenes, shout out Tony.
Shout out.
For running all his social media himself.
Fuck yeah.
He runs, if y'all don't know, like, that motherfucker, he runs his Twitter, he runs his Instagram, might not run his Facebook, actually, but he runs his Twitter and Instagram.
Nobody does.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Passwords are too sketchy.
I think his Facebook just turned into Ride Channel.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You know, like, some shit like that.
But. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, but he's a hard-working fucker. Like, if anyone has any idea, this guy goes on tours, skate trips, and every morning before everyone gets up, he's probably done, like, five things locally that he's obligated to do before the guys wake up to do the rest of the shit. It's, like, pretty impressive.
Gets invited to... We were on a trip, and he got invited to breakfast with the lead singer from Modest Mouse.
Oh, shit, Isaac?
Yes, Isaac.
Yeah, is that Portland or Seattle?
He's Portland.
Yep.
Portland. Yeah. And that was at like 10 a.m., and we all woke up, and Tony's just coming back from fucking having breakfast with Isaac from Modest Mouse, and we're just like, oh, cool, like, I just woke up. So, shout out to him, and he already posted on Instagram and Twitter, and probably has backstage tickets to Modest Mouse for the rest of his life. That's why he's sick.
Yeah. His lifestyle is pretty, I mean, it's rad, but also, I look at it, I'm like, dude, how do you go to fucking there, to there, to there, to there? Like, he's on a mission.
Dude, I mean, that's like, I mean, I was just talking about it, like being a professional skateboarder is not just as good as you can be on the board. Like, you have to be better, it's like a job, dude.
Yeah.
Like, being a legitimate professional skateboarder doesn't just mean you're good at skateboarding.
Right.
Like, you have to, like, do these things that you are shitty, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, that you're obligated to do. Right. But that makes you a professional at doing it.
And you have to be able to travel.
And you have to be able to travel. You have to be able to travel. I was just talking to my friend tonight, and he's like, I mean, me and him are both the same age. We're both 29. And he's like, dude, I've never traveled on a plane alone. And I was like, fucking 95% of the time I travel, I'm alone.
Yeah, same.
And I take those flights. Yeah, I know. You're the same, too. And it's
yeah.
Like, you have a lot of alone time, but I don't know. It's just like there's a lot more than just being good at skateboarding. There's just
And
I think these kids nowadays are just like so, I don't know, just think that they just need to learn these crazy like tricks and just be as good as they can.
Right.
And all of a sudden the really, really good ones just vanish. It's like, dude, you don't have a good attitude. You're not like, you can't get along with you. You're not able to handle pressure. You're not able to take stress in.
Right.
Like, I think Tony did a really good post on Lizzie. Lizzie just won the combi.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Lizzie. Winning the combi.
Shout out.
Dude, she had food poisoning before that. She had a skated demo before that. She was in Europe. Like, dude, like a little bit before, the, like a week before that.
Right.
Got 1 day of practice, yeah. You know?
She actually told me, she's like, I think that's why I won. Because she was so fucking distracted by all that other stuff, she just skated and didn't think about it. But,
yeah.
I mean, she's the... But if you want to look up professional in the dictionary, Lizzie's name is right... Her face is right next to the...
That's what I mean, though.
She's a pro.
Like, I look up to Tony, like, forever, obviously. But,
yeah.
Like, I look up to, like, her. Like, she's, like, a really good... role model of being a professional.
For sure.
You know, I'm sure when you text her, you get a text back.
Yeah. when I'm filming her and she should be kind of stressed, she still takes time to take a photo with a person that she doesn't know that could be considered bugging her. Like, you know, like as a lot of people do, but it's just some people are definitely not in that tune with that.
All you kids out there, you have to have a good attitude and be polite and be nice to people because that's what really matters in the end of the day.
For sure.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take it to the bridge because I kept this going a little longer, but I got excited. I haven't seen fucking Aaron in at least probably a year, we decided, but could have been a little longer. I'm not even sure, but I'm just stoked. This is my first time in your house.
Dude, sick.
And next time I'm here, I think it's going to be remodeled because he's like got some doors off. He's getting ready to fucking jackhammer some walls. He's got fucking paint all over the place. He's got like some Akira type anime.
Three rollers, each different size. A stack of wall boards.
A high stack of boards.
You're in my realm.
Welcome. In this realm. We got candles. We got fucking
box of shoes.
Whatever you need. Oh, real quick. I do want to touch on that. Are you getting shoes from anyone?
I'm testing out some. So that footprint insole company that I ride for?
Yeah.
First of all, those are like... hands in my, if I could say one thing about an actual product that actually works, not just trying to be like a dumbass salesman, like that fucking footprint insoles, like those work,
okay.
Like so fucking good. I've tried so many other ones. Those ones hands down work. They're making shoes right now. I'm testing out these shoes until they're fine tuned. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm testing out some footprint shoes. So,
well, all I can say is...
the future is near.
No brainer. Like, you got to be pretty stupid if you run a shoe company and don't want this dude wearing your shoes and jumping down and saying, hey, these shoes are good on my feet, because this guy's taking a beating on his feet. So...
yeah,
I'm saying a great endorsement for shoes, man. So
I'm just saying,
you know, that's my two cents on that.
I appreciate that.
But we're gonna take it to the bridge. We're gonna get out
the
fucking hop, and we're gonna give you a good little jingle to take it out of here. Thanks for listening. If you guys like what you hear, hit subscribe. Hit review too. Like, for some reason, if you hit the 5-star review and leave a review.
Wait, if people leave a 5-star review.
Yeah, like if you get like the more 5-star reviews you have, like I think it puts you up on the iTunes page or something. Like
that makes sense because you got a better review.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like, for my ego, but it would be cool for more people to chime in. And I love getting feedback. So epicallytriumph@yahoo.com for all your suggestions, your hate mail, your love, whatever you need to do. And you can follow me on Talkin' Schmidt on the old Instagram, where you'll see lots of photos of all my bros.
Talkin' Schmidt.
Yeah, that's the name of this podcast.
I love it, dude. I forgot to tell you. I love it. That's, I think that's the first time I heard that.
Well, we're gonna dedicate this song, and it's going to be called Talkin' Schmidt. Might be our new intro or outro.
Talkin' Schmidt.
Talkin' Schmidt. Talkin' Schmidt. Here we go with Jaws Flow. Don't you know we good to go? We got shit with Talkin' Schmidt. Don't throw a fit, cause my podcast legit. I can't quit, but I got game to spit. I'm a hit. First pitch, grand slam, my man, it's a Talkin' jam Schmidt. Again. Talkin' Schmidt on the wheels of steel, nobody can. Play the.
Oh my God. I can't even do it
anymore. Dude. Hey, Omar, where you at? Oh, peace out. Thanks, Omar. Josh.
Love you.
Wait.
Fuck yeah. Love you. Talkin' Schmidt all day.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please subscribe now on Anchor, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like this show, one of the best ways to show some love is to write up a review. I always appreciate to hear your thoughts, and detailed reviews are the best way for people to discover us. Also, a big shout out to our executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!